Class is in session. You're listening to Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horshake.
Let's go!
Now, let's start the show.
Podcast listeners, thank you so much for checking out today's show. This is episode 61 of the Squat University podcast. The goal with each and every one of these shows is to bring you as much value-packed content to help you move better in the gym and in life, decrease your body's aches and pains, and help you reach your true athletic potential. Now, in today's podcast, I want to start a small series on what we'll call cautionary exercises for low back pain rehab. Now, there are a number of different exercises that I think have made its way into strength training practices that require some caution, and especially in the context of recovering from back injury. Now, the one I want to talk about specifically today is the hip extension or the reverse hyper machine. Now, the big thing I want you guys to understand as we go through this context of today's podcast is that exercises are only a tool in our toolbox. And regardless of whether you're designing a program for rehab or for performance, we need to choose the best tool that helps us basically accomplish our individual goals, and we have to choose them based on our individual injury history and what specific weak links our bodies have that we want to try to focus on. We have to bring both of those into the discussion. So let's talk specifically about the hip extension machine, also called the reverse hyper. Now, the reverse hyper machine was originally developed by famed powerlifting coach Louis Simmons of Westside Barbell. Everyone knows who Westside Barbell is. Obviously, they had their recent documentary, Westside vs. the World, come out. If you haven't checked it out, go check that out. But Louis Simmons is probably one of the most famous powerlifting coaches out there. The way in which he teaches it, at least the way in which I have seen him explain it, I've obviously never met the man, but the way in which I've seen many videos on YouTube of him explaining it, you're basically perched up on the platform of the reverse hyper machine. Your back is flat, or your stomach is flat on the platform. Your legs are hanging below, attached to the lever. The motion is then performed with the legs swinging back and forward. However, the big thing that a lot of people are taught to do this is that the back moves into flexion as the legs pull under the body, and then as the legs come back into extension, the low back extends as well. The swinging action from a flexed position or a rounded position of the back is therefore performed not only by the hamstrings and the glutes, the posterior chain, right, because they extend the hip, but it's also performed by the erectors of the low back, those muscles that lie on the backside that can hypertrophy a lot. You see these muscles very, very large in a lot of weightlifters and powerlifters, but they extend the lumbar spine. So we're getting extension from the hips and the lumbar spine. Now, the reason we need to be cautious of using this exercise in the rehab of back injury is for a couple different reasons. While this exercise may be great at training hip extension, the large muscle contraction that takes place with these low back erectors creates a lot of posterior shearing forces on the spine. This is because there's not a ton of co-contraction. Co-contraction means that muscles on all sides of the spine are bracing at the same time. The muscles on the front side of the body are not used nearly as much as the muscles of the back, those erector muscles, in creating this motion. So because the back muscles, the erector muscles, are so dominant in the shearing or in the extension phase of this motion, it creates a lot of shearing force in the spine. And what that means is that for some people, especially those who are extension intolerant, it may trigger their back pain. Now, what does extension intolerant mean? Go back, if you have not yet, and listen to all the podcasts I have done with Dr. Stuart McGill. One of the most knowledgeable people when it comes to spine biomechanics and how the injury, or basically how injuries occur at the spine, how we can become resilient and perform to our greatest potential through rehab and different cueing on improving spinal stability. But extension intolerant is a way Dr. McGill preaches this. This is something that has come through with sort of that movement-based diagnostic system in physical therapy world. But it means that moving into extension, so if you stand straight up and down, you are in a neutral spine. If you extend backwards, you arch your back, that's extension. For some people, that movement or that posture of being extended, especially when loaded, can trigger someone's back pain. That may be the exact posture that creates pain. So if someone has that as a trigger, we don't want to move into that, especially when we're performing a lot of exercises, because we're just going to make things worse. Now, here's the big thing. I don't want to automatically jump to the conclusion that this exercise is inherently dangerous for everyone and should be avoided in all cases of back pain. Instead, we need to just have better context of how and when this exercise should be used. So for example, I'm doing a collaboration post soon, but in an effort to strengthen his posterior chain and rehab from back injury, world champion powerlifter Blaine Sumner modified the reverse hyper into a more back-friendly variation that I want to talk about today. I'm going to try to get a visual of this so I can share it with you guys on Instagram. But until then, if you this comes out before then, just go to Blaine's page and scroll down, and there's a video of him using this variation. So basically, he props himself up onto the machine's platform. He supports himself through his upper body, through his elbows. So instead of lying flat on his stomach, he's almost propped up onto his elbows into a more neutral position. And what he's able to do then is limit any back movement and instead move solely about the hips. So if you're going to attempt to use the reverse hyper, this is how I would recommend doing it. You're going to support yourself on the platform. You're going to grab the handles in front of you. You're going to squeeze as hard as you can to create tremendous tension from your hands all the way to your shoulders. Your pelvis is going to be resting on the edge of the platform so that your back is in a neutral position. You're then going to brace your core, stiffen your entire torso so that you can then motion completely about the hips, so that then when you raise and lower your legs, your torso is basically buttressed against the platform, and it's going to allow you to get the benefits of the hip extension, strengthening, and power. So you're working your glutes, you're working your hamstrings, but we're minimizing those harmful forces on the low back. We're basically, if anything, going to be using your back in an isometric contraction, using co-contraction, because we're creating braces all the way around. We're not just focusing on the posterior spinal erectors. Now, this exercise can be performed both with two legs or with one leg at a time. A number of the reverse hyper machines that you'll see out there will have a small platform for your foot on the side to get up onto the platform originally, but you can use that to sort of brace yourself and then just perform the hip extension with just one side. And actually, performing the single leg version may actually potentially reduce loading on the low back to an even greater degree, making it basically even more spine friendly, if we want to think about it like that. Now, here's the deal. For those of you who do not have access to a specialized machine like a hip extension reverse hyper, here's another exercise that I want to give you guys in place: a kettlebell swing. It's a great late stage rehab exercise that for many is going to be great. It's going to emphasize and train that dynamic hip extension in a very similar cyclical motion as the reverse hyper. Not only does the kettlebell swing train the posterior chain in a very similar way, but it also does so in a manner that's going to enhance full body coordination. Now, there's nothing wrong with using machines inherently. There is a time and a place for specific machines, especially in the rehab process. However, I love eventually moving past machines and using, I guess you would call it, a functional exercise. Some people love, some people hate the word. Basically, what I'm saying is we're using every part of your body together. We're building coordination. Every link in our body's kinetic chain, if you want to think about it like this, from the stable foot grabbing the ground to the powerful hips working in sync with an unwavering spine, they work together in harmony to produce a quality motion, in this case, a swinging pattern. And if your goal as a strength athlete is to get back to doing a deadlift, a squat, you know, anything like that, that's obviously something that requires that full body linkage to work together. So in my opinion, we sort of have to work our rehab to eventually meet those demands and have that coordination in our rehab exercises. Now, to perform a kettlebell swing, it's very simple. You're going to assume a very athletic stance, toes relatively straight forward, feet about shoulder width apart. If you can, whenever I'm using these with my patients, I like them to take their shoes off so that they can feel for the ground. I want you to grip the ground with your toes. It's going to allow you to create tremendous stability from the ground up and limit any unwanted rocking forward onto the toes or back onto the heels, especially with a kettlebell swing. It's very easy to let that kettlebell bring you forward or bring you back. Whenever you're deadlifting, whenever you're squatting, I don't want you to move that center of gravity from your heels onto your toes. I want you to be centered right in the middle of your foot. So this is a great exercise when done properly that can help you improve your ability to stabilize from the ground up. Now, usually what I tell people, especially if they're using a heavy kettlebell, start with that bell sort of resting slightly in front of your toes. You're gonna hinge down, remember, butt backwards, chest forward, and lower yourself down as if you're setting up for a deadlift. Don't squat down, we're hinging down. This is more of a deadlift, you're not squatting the weight. So to start the swing, you're gonna get down there, you're gonna brace your core in that neutral spinal position, your shoulders are gonna be slightly higher than your hips, just like you would with the deadlift, and you're gonna look straight forward, you're not looking down at the kettlebell. You're then going to drive your feet hard into the ground, lock your arms, create this entire tension to body ever before any movement occurs. Now, if this sounds familiar, it should. It's because those are almost the exact same sequence of events that we're using whenever we're setting up for things like a deadlift, a clean, or a snatch. So again, a great exercise because it can carry over to a lot of those other movements. So again, what would you do for a deadlift? Do you just pull the bar? No. You draw in that big breath, then you start the movement. Now, a great way that I have seen taught how to start the movement of the kettlebell swing is because the kettlebell's around your toes. You're going to hike the ball back or hike the kettlebell back, almost like a center in football, hiking the ball to a quarterback. You're going to pull the bell back to sort of start the momentum of the swing. So as that happens and you pull the kettlebell back, you should feel your entire posterior chain muscles, your glutes and your hamstrings almost tighten up if you're doing this correctly. Think about like a rubber band being stretched. It's creating a lot of tension. With this tension, you're then going to drive your hips forward in a very powerful and explosive manner, releasing that tension basically of that pre-stretched rubber band, which basically is our hamstrings and our glutes. And then at the top, you're gonna release that breath powerfully as the bell is then violently swung forward. Similar to think about like a boxer throwing a jab, they're just like, doof, doof. That's the exact same thing that we're doing with the kettlebell swing. This is not a lackadaisical movement. This is a powerful and a violent movement. Again, a reason why I usually don't add this into someone's back rehab until well after they've been able to do a lot of slow but heavy exercises and build up that capacity to then handle something very quick and violent. Now, the big thing I see a lot of people doing correctly, they think about lifting the weight with their arms. Don't do that. Instead, basically think about the entire force production of the movement is occurring about the hips. And if done correctly, the kettlebell is almost going to like float upwards towards chest height for most people. Make sure that core remains braced the entire movement. And then basically you're not going to relax the core. It's going to stay tight. And the arms are eventually going to let things come back down. So it's going to reach the top and then slowly come back down. If you relax your core during this time, you're going to transfer a lot of that force to your back and you will feel it there. So keep that core braced. Now, as the weight begins to descend back down, take back that another breath of air, fill the lungs with air, keep your arms locked out so that the bell swings back down all the way back between your legs. If you bend your knees too much at this time, the motion turns into a squat. This isn't what we want. We're using the kettlebell swing to strengthen the hip hinge, which is specifically working the hamstrings and glutes. And again, what are we doing? We're also strengthening the spinal erectors because we're isometrically contracting and performing a hinge. This also looks very similar to the way in which I want you to perform the reverse hyper. If you think about it, I want you to have that isometric contraction, no movement taking place at the low back, cyclical motion, dynamic motion of the hips working through glutes and hamstring contraction. Now, if done properly and you swing it back between your legs, again, you should feel those posterior chain muscles turning on. That's that rubber band again being stretched and pulled back for another release of violent energy, boom, right to the next swing. So again, you can start beginning to swing this. A lot of people say, well, are you doing Russian swings or American swings? Just start swinging it to shoulder height. If you want to swing it higher, swing it higher. I don't have any problem with that. But again, remember, you are swinging using your hips. You are not pulling it with your arms. That's the big thing. The motion has to occur about the hips. That again is the big reason why we are performing again the reverse hyper or the kettlebell swing. It's hip power, core braced. That is the basic movement that I think can transcend a lot of our different movements in the gym. So that is it for today's podcast, short and sweet to the point. I hope you guys got something out of it. If you enjoyed this podcast, I hope you are subscribed right now. There's a number of you that are listening that are not subscribed yet. Please go hit that subscribe button so that you can keep up to date with all the different information that I'm putting out, whether it's a little short and sweet podcast like this, or whether it's a really, really long interview. If you had not checked out the latest interview with Kelly Starrett of Mobility What, go back, check out episode 60 just before this one. It's a great hour-long conversation. You will not be disappointed with the material in it. Again, thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart for listening to today's podcast. It really means so much to me for you to lend your ears and spend a little bit of time with some of the information that I'm sharing. I hope it's empowering you to, again, decrease your body's aches and pains and help you reach whatever performance is possible for you out there in life with whatever athletic aspirations that you're going for, powerlifting, weightlifting, CrossFit, or just wanting to kick some butt and lift some heavy-ass weight in the gym. Until next week, guys, happy squatting.
That's it for today, class, on Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horschig. For more exclusive content, log on to squatuniversity.com.